And now we have with us Wayne Madsen, who's with the Electronic Privacy Information Center, and he's a former intelligence officer. Welcome to the show, Wayne.
Good to be with you.
Great. Maybe you could tell our listeners what kind of background you had coming into this.
Well, before I became active in the privacy world, I spent a number of years in the government, in the military, in the U.S. Navy specifically, and I spent one year at the National Security Agency in Fort Meade, Maryland, and also worked in the Department of Diplomatic Security in the U.S. State Department.
Can you talk about what you did at the NSA then?
Well, basically, NSA has a couple of functions. According to their original charter from 1952, one important one is that they listen in on the communications of foreign countries. They also break the codes used by foreign governments, foreign military, to encrypt their classified communications. The other side of the NSA deals with protecting U.S. government communications, creating codes, making sure that our communications are secure, and that's the area I worked in.
So is that kind of, it's technical stuff, right?
Fairly technical, yeah.
Do you see that after 9/11 that basically they can do anything they want now, or is there any resistance?
Well, I'm afraid from what I'm seeing, the president today announced his national strategy for homeland security. The report that was issued by the White House pretty much figures that this Department of Homeland Security is a sure thing. I'm sure they're right. It seems like that is going to happen. But I think there's some very worrisome things in there. Basically, the president is authorizing the establishment of a couple of groups of citizens, one called the Neighborhood Watch, another one called the TIPS, which I think stands for Terrorism Information, something system. Anyway, it's a whole alphabet soup of new groups. It looks to me like what they're establishing now in the United States is a form of the former Stasi in East Germany, where they're encouraging U.S. citizens and residents to tattletale on their neighbors. And files are created, will be created, and the person who's the subject of the file doesn't have the right to look at the information. This stuff is kept by the government, and I think this is a very worrisome aspect. Basically, that abrogates the Privacy Act of 1974, and for anyone who thinks the Privacy Act was signed by a liberal president, it was signed by President Richard Nixon. So, in many respects, President George W. Bush is much worse than President Nixon, and I never thought I'd actually live to the point in time where I would say a president is worse than President Nixon.
You know, there's already an editorial against that TIPS program in today's Orange County Register out here in Orange County. They editorialize against the TIPS program, citing a Sydney Morning Herald story on it on Sunday.
Well, yeah, so obviously the Sydney Morning Herald must have gotten an advanced copy of the national plan that was issued by the White House today, because all the details are in the plan. They encourage these, as I say, it's from the major cities all the way down to particular neighborhoods and suburban subdevelopments. It's very worrisome. I started a online petition, not really a petition, more of a statement by people who just, what we're saying is we will not cooperate with these programs. We will not tattletale on our neighbors. If somebody expresses political or religious feelings just because we don't agree with them, we're not certainly not going to turn them in, and it's just basically non-cooperation. I think the American people have to just state right out front that we're not going to cooperate with this new system of ratting out our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers.
It's like a not in our name kind of campaign before, when they said that this war on terrorism is not in our name. There was a movement against that a few days ago.
Exactly. I think it's now time. I think things have gone way too far. I wasn't comfortable with the USA Patriot Act, but now we see, the American Civil Liberties Union always talked about slippery slopes and how you know, once you do one thing, it leads to others. And obviously, we're on a very slippery slope right now, and we see it actually occurring right now in the United States. It's a terrible thing.
You know, when the when there was this talk about a Homeland Security department, the New York Times reported on its front page that an ACLU person had said that the Privacy Act would become a bulwark against this.
But well, basically, with this national plan that was announced today, the Privacy Act is basically null and void. The government now can create a system of files on individuals based on what they say, what books they buy, what books they check out of the library, what videos they rent, anything. And they're enlisting everybody from truck drivers to train conductors to people like work for the United Parcel Service that deliver packages. All these people are trying to recruit as members of this, what I can only refer to it as an American Stasi.
Or the, you know, system in the Soviet Union or the or China, I guess, at the time.
Well, China, certainly during the Cultural Revolution, people were encouraged to turn in their neighbors, their coworkers, their friends, even their relatives who expressed feelings that were not in conformance with the dictates of Chairman Mao. We see it. We saw it also in Nazi Germany. We saw it in Vichy France, where the Vichy government said if, you know, people in individual apartment blocks were duty bound to turn in people who they knew were Jewish, and we know what the consequences of that were. We saw it with Khmer Rouge run to Cambodia. We saw it in the Ottoman Empire in the 1830s with Abdul Hamid, the Ottoman Sultan, encouraged this. But you know, I would like to think that we're growing away from these types of regimes, but now, unfortunately, it looks like we have one right in our own country.
Well, the Sydney paper actually cited the government website www.citizencorps.gov, which is the website for this terrorist information and prevention system.
Yes, and you can sign up on that website. You can actually give your name, your address, your email, and your occupation to sign up to be a member of the Freedom Corps, Citizen Corps, the TIPS program, the Neighborhood Watch program. You can just tick off which, you know, you can even be all members of all those various programs. I've started a petition statement of non-cooperation. It's on petitiononline.com/notips/petition.html. So if anyone wants to just state that they're not going to cooperate with this program, I would encourage them to put their name on the list. Now, it was mentioned to me today that, you know, aren't you doing the FBI's job for them? You're creating a list for them to use. And I said, well, wait a minute. During the civil rights movement, when people, for example, in Greensboro, North Carolina, sat down at the lunch counter at the Woolworths, they weren't wearing ski masks. They fully intended for everyone to know who in fact they were, and that was everybody from the Reverend Martin Luther King to other members of the civil rights movement. So I'm not concerned about any retributions.
You know, in 1995, I settled a lawsuit with the CIA on their use over the Privacy Act. They had collected material about me because I indexed material for COVID Action Information Quarterly, and a bulletin at the time. And so they paid my lawyers $46,000, promising not to spy on me again, because the Privacy Act said that they're not supposed to collect, U.S. is not supposed to collect material, anything related to the First Amendment activities of permanent residents or citizens.
Exactly.
Now permanent residents, of course, they don't care about anymore. But now also citizens, huh?
Yes, it's everybody. Legal residents, permanent residents, citizens, it doesn't matter. If you, for example, were attending a neighborhood barbecue and somebody saying, you know, says, look, I don't like President Bush, I think he's terrible, you can actually, if you're, you know, whether you're a member of this these groups or not, you can, you know, basically tip off the government. Hey, I heard so-and-so, you know, Joe across the street, you know, he was criticizing the president. And, you know, and of course, a file will be started on Joe across the street, and we don't, you know, Joe across the street will not know about what's in the file. He won't know that he's even the subject of a file. But this is exactly what happened in East Germany, where at one point in time, 25% of the population of East Germany were in some way informants for the Stasi.
You know, the Privacy Act is still on the books, But there's a provision there that says that this doesn't apply if there's another law that applies.
Right, it's being trumped for national security reasons. Another thing, we have a law from 1878 called the Posse Comitatus Act,
right.
Passed because the federal troops in the South were taking on law enforcement responsibilities and were abusing those responsibilities and abusing their authority. So Congress passed a law in 1878 prohibiting the military from engaging in domestic law enforcement. Well, that's all going to come to an end on October 1st when the U.S. establishes the Northern Command, which is basically going to give the U.S. military the ability to conduct law enforcement operations inside the United States.
So as a former intelligence officer, are you worried that there's this confusion between intelligence gathering and or collection and actually law enforcement?
Well, yeah, we always try to separate the two. Now the lines, there are no lines. The lines are gone. Intelligence had one certain function, and it was directed abroad. Now we see that in the intelligence agencies, the CIA, we have CIA people working within the FBI. These mm-hmm. lines are gone, and we know about the past abuses of the Central Intelligence Agency when they targeted anti-Vietnam War protesters, civil rights people, a whole host of abuses were all documented in the 1970s when Senator Frank Church from Idaho conducted extensive hearings and a report was issued from the Church Committee. And many of the laws we have now to restrain the intelligence agencies and law enforcement from political surveillance and that type of thing came out of the hearings that Frank Church held in the Senate, and to a lesser extent the hearings that Representative Otis Pike from New York held in the House of Representatives.
You know, there used to be the distinction between human intelligence and then technical gathering of intelligence, right? But do you think now with all these informants, they're going to go back to human intelligence and not just depend on computers?
Well, here's the problem. They're going to be depending on human intelligence. These American Stasi agents will be reporting on their neighbors, but all that stuff will wind up in databases.
Right.
And therefore, once it's in a database, you have no control over it. You don't know how that database is being multiplied. You don't even know if the information is who it's being shared with. We know with all these international cooperation agreements now that this information could be shared with foreign governments. So it's not only somebody criticizing the President of the United States. What if somebody criticizes a foreign leader and somebody decides, this foreign leader is an ally of the United States? That information winds up in a database and could potentially be shared with that foreign government. I'm thinking specifically of China and people involved with the Falun Gong movement.
Yeah.
Demonstrating here in the United States this information being collected and potentially being shared with the government in China. And and then these people not only have a file maintained by the United States government, but their file increases in size, the file that's maintained by the Chinese government, for example.
Well, it actually happened in my case. It was a foreign liaison office, spy for a foreign government that asked the CIA for information about me. And so the CIA sent a query to all the field agents around the world, field officers, asking who I am, and then they turned over the information to this foreign government. So,
well, that's happening quite frequently. There was a case in Charlotte, North Carolina, of two U.S. citizens, originally from Lebanon, Shia Muslims, who were convicted of running a cigarette smuggling ring, and also one of them was convicted under this new provision of supporting terrorists. He was accused of giving money to groups affiliated with Hezbollah, and we found out that the Canadian Communication Security Establishment, the CSE, which is the Canadian counterpart of the NSA, was wiretapping these individuals, doing surveillance, and all this collection that was done by a foreign intelligence agency was actually accepted in the trial by the federal judge, in addition to all the wiretap information that had been collected by the FBI.
Was there wiretap? Were they wiretapping American phones?
The Canadians were wiretapping these two U.S. citizens, and this information was actually allowed to be entered into evidence in their trial. And one was convicted of supporting the terrorists. His brother was convicted on the cigarette smuggling and racketeering charge, but there was this one conviction on the under the new Supporting Terrorism Act against the one individual.
But was the wiretap in the U.S.? Or?
Yeah, the Canadians were actually wiretapping their communications in North Carolina and in Michigan.
Wow. How about this whole thing about email that, you know, anything you send they can look at? Is that true now?
Well, now, you know, the FBI, we at EPIC, we did a huge Freedom of Information Act request, and we got into litigation with the FBI. We had to sue them for documents related to this system called Carnivore.
Right.
And John Ashcroft, who originally, you know, when he was Senator Ashcroft, we used to have meetings with him. He supported the cause of EPIC. He supported privacy. He supported what the ACLU was trying to do. All of our organizations used to meet in his office. Over in the Dirksen building, and now he basically is, as Attorney General Ashcroft, he wants to see more and more surveillance. So he's probably one of the, I guess he's one of the bigger hypocrites of our time.
But aren't the conservative organizations like really upset about this? Like, isn't the Cato Institute and other groups trying to work with liberal groups to try to fight some of this?
To an extent, there are some conservative groups that are very upset with Attorney General Ashcroft, who were part of this left-right coalition of years past when he supported our goals in trying to limit the Clinton administration from getting some of these these powers enacted. And now he's basically gone, you know, turned around 180 degrees, and now we find, we're at loggerheads with him. So, yeah, some of the conservative groups are very, very concerned, especially the Free Congress Foundation, which is headed up by Paul Weyrich, who's a well-known conservative. He's very upset with Mr. Ashcroft.
So what are people to do now? I mean, what kind of resistance? You have this petition idea.
I've got this petition going. I've only had it up for about an hour, but it's starting to get some more signatures. But I intend to send this eventually to the president, to the congressional leadership, and to Tom Ridge. And just, this is a statement that, you know, all your great ideas about creating this system of informants will count us out. We're not going to be part of it. And if we hear anybody expressing their views, a constitutional, right to have, religious views, political views, whatever, we're certainly not going to be turning them into anyone. And we will not be coerced based on our jobs, because obviously the Bush administration today was, suggesting that truck drivers and train conductors and ship captains should all be members of this. So there's also an issue where employers might try to coerce their employees into joining these groups, and I think that's where the labor unions need to step in and say, no, our union members are not going to be part of anything. And also professional associations of attorneys, journalists, clergy. Certainly we saw that in East Germany, where people would go in to make confession, and the next thing is the Lutheran pastor, the Catholic priest, was informing the local Stasi coordinator on what they heard a confession. So there's a lot of people potentially who could be pressured into cooperating with this this new regime, and I just think people need to stand up and say, absolutely not. We're not gonna participate in it.
Do you think they've crossed this threshold? You know, before they had crossed it with foreigners, right, with non-citizens, but now because they're starting to arrest citizens and
like Jose Padilla, and enemy combatants,
So maybe there's going to be a backlash against that.
Well, I hope so, and I hope people. I think this administration has a lot of things to contend with. I don't think these civil rights violations and violation of the Constitution are high up on anybody's radar screen right now. But if you look at the corporate malfeasance, and that Bush and Cheney are part of this, the economy is going down. I think if people start to realize what Bush and Cheney really stand for, maybe they'll also understand that they care about as much about people's 401ks and Social Security as they do about the Constitution. Hopefully they'll hold them accountable for everything that's happening in the United States right now.
So where do you think the battles are going to be fought? Is it like legally? Could the ACLU go and argue that they're eviscerating the Privacy Act and they can't do this? Or?
Well, we do, obviously, we would like to see some cases come forward. Obviously, we still, God bless the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals out in California. That terrible judge who didn't want under God and the Pledge of Allegiance was appointed by President Nixon. So, I mean, obviously, there are friendly judges still around, and I would certainly hope that the Democrats would keep delaying Bush and his judicial appointments, because God only knows what what he has in mind for the court. We've seen some people being nominated for these judgeships who are absolutely terrible. So hopefully the judiciary will stand as a bulwark. And if things go to the Supreme Court, hopefully the good 5-4 majority, it's razor thin, but it's just like the Senate. Hopefully they'll prevail.
Do you think there'll be more COVID action locally than and not just foreign places?
I think so, and I think unfortunately what we're seeing with this new national plan for Homeland Security, it lends itself to covert activities. You know, where you have, you know the FBI and the Homeland Security Department, when it comes about, being able to go into local communities and you know just start collecting information on people, and I think yeah, we're going to see a lot more covert activities within the United States.
Well, thank you very much. This is Wayne. This is Wayne Mattson with Electronic Privacy Information Center, talking about the intelligence abuses or whatever, and the civil liberties abuses that have happened and are going to happen.
Good to be with you.
Is there a website?
Yes, people who are interested in our organization can visit www.epic.org.
Great. And I'll put the link on about your tip thing on the website also.
Oh, super.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
That was Wayne Mattson from the Electronic Privacy Information Center and a former intelligence officer with the National Security Agency. And he has set up a website saying that we will not cooperate in this new system of informants that the Bush administration is creating. 1 million people in 10 cities set to inform on you. This is Dan Zhang signing off for Subversity. This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.